Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft, and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson Chevrolet, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, Truck Vault, and Rain Marine Electronics.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle, streaming live on MyNorthWest.com. Don't forget about the live video feed on 710sports.com, because we
are back in studio.
We're back in studio. Joe Pyburn, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. It's good to see you. We haven't seen each other since
May 22th. Yes. Yeah, no kidding. Great to be back inside the studio, the actual studio. So, yeah. We've been doing our homework. We've been out there, you know, checking stuff out, getting stuff lined up. I got back from Sitka on Thursday, and you took all of yesterday to spend on the Skykomish River with one Todd Daniels joining us later in the show.
I did. I got home from Alaska on May 24th, and I worked every day. Yesterday was the first day I took off. And my wife thinks I'm crazy because I took a day off to be Todd Daniels' deckhand, but it was great, man.
We're gonna get to that a little bit later because I'm uncomfortable with you using the term deckhand with another fishing guy. All right, so I just, you know, I'm pretty uncomfortable.
Well, you having me on your boat has made me very. I'm like
you're a commodity.
I'm a wanted man.
Everybody needs a Joey. Everybody needs a Joey on the boat now. Yeah, but dude, it was so great to have you up in Sitka and just, you know. It made the boat fish better for one thing, but just to have all the folks we had, like you came up, we had the folks from Skagit Arms, you know, up there, and they hadn't been up there before, you know, the
Anthony and Jared
Calkins and the whole crew, and man, we had some fun.
It was amazing.
Yeah, definitely,
you know,
had a great
it
trip.
It was super cool just to see Sitka. You know, even without the fishing, that place is just amazing.
It is
just to go visit, but. The fishing was spectacular. I also got to spend time with Rob, so I got to see Rob's operation down there in Craig, and I got to see kind of your operation up in Sitka.
And I'm a little jealous because I still have never been a Prince Wales Island, never been to Craig. And spent, you know, Lord willing, next year will be my 29th year in Sitka. But one of these years, I do want to check out what he does up there. But you know, it is so much fun to be up there. But here's the deal. We got a pretty good glimpse of what's coming our way, and I just, you know, the words unbridled optimism barely cover what I saw up there, because early in the season we had some smaller Chinook, but then later on we saw larger fish. But what really has me excited was the larger component of hatchery fish that I had not seen up there in a number of years. And I tell you what, if you look at this, the largest point source of clipped Chinook here on the West Coast is Washington, Oregon. Now, I'm not breaking any news ground here, right? It's just a fact of the matter that Southeast Alaska clips less than 15%, and British Columbia clips less than 10%. So if we're seeing a good component of hatchery Chinook up there of a larger year class that are heading this way, it just stands to reason they're coming. They're coming.
So far, every fishery we've seen, the Skykomish is producing well, the Skagit's producing well, the Columbia right now is on fire.
Yeah, we just looked at the numbers there and talked to Eric Lindy. He told me yesterday something really, really startling. They hooked a fish while I was talking to him on the Lower Willamette, and he says, listen, I have not seen it this good here in years.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
you're an optimist.
Oh,
already,
really?
Always. You know, you're always like, this is going to be a great season, and, you know, that's great. But, you know, all of us kind of looked at the forecast, and we're like, what's going on? But, hey, I think they way under forecasted these runs. I mean, right now, and hearing what's going on the west side of Vancouver Island, there's a lot of Chinook up there right now. So they're headed this way.
Yeah, they are headed this way. There's no question about it. And so Robbo is actually going to join us a little earlier than his normal 0700 check-in from Craig. And I got to say this. I have to say 866-979-3776, locally 206-421-3776. That's the Reverse Chime Hotline brought to you by Wellcraft Duckworth Northwest Boat. You can give us a call today, and we will actually answer the phone because Matthew has unblocked the phone line. So if you got any questions, comments, concerns, complaints, you know, especially complaints, we love complaints.
You can get directly to us.
You can come
which you haven't been able to do for a long time.
Yeah, it's just, you know, because, you know, doing the show remotely as we've, you know, had to do. We didn't have the availability of the phone line.
We could have given out your cell phone.
We could have, but I would rather give out yours. But I'm afraid to do that because then you're going to end up working on somebody else's boat again. So anybody with a 31-foot Duckworth or, you know, something else, you would just jump right on.
Well, if they make a 31-foot Duckworth, we're going to get one, right? Do you know a guy?
We got the Duckworth cleaned up and it's getting shipped back down here and we got a little boat work to do on that, but you know, just some maintenance stuff. But the boat performed just magnificent.
It was kind of fun to be on the boat in nautical seas,
yeah.
You know, like stuff.
And oh yeah.
That boat is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, especially with those trim tabs now, being able to just
dump that bow.
Wow.
Yeah, no question about it.
Pretty cool.
710-710 is the text toy powered by Yamaha. Say we actually got an attaboy. Dude, great to have you back in studio. No more hot breakfast, though. That is a point.
You didn't bring Kathy with you?
No, I don't. Kathy's headed for the gym this morning. Mm. So, you know, that's fine. And I actually hit the gym yesterday for the first time, too. But which felt okay.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be in there 5 days next week. I can promise you that because you know I mean the next thing on our agenda obviously is gonna be hunting this fall, and of course the special permit draws came out this week, so I saw a lot of guys fired up over what they got. Our friend Steve Stout got drawn for the moose tag. For him. That's a once in a lifetime deal. I had a wonderful draw season last year, you know, getting that bowl with you, but this year I got a second deer tag is all I could pull this year. But
you're
but
not going to win every year, man.
No, you're not.
With the draws.
No.
But it's, you know, that's one of those investment.
It is.
You're
no,
you kind of putting in for the future, and you know, a lot of guys are bummed out. But hey, when it does happen, it only takes one of those really good hunts to kind of make your decade, right?
Yep. There you go.
Yeah.
And in fact, I took a nice chunk of that bowl out and got it marinating because it's going in the Green Mountain Davy Crockett sometime tomorrow morning. And it's going to, this time, you know, tomorrow night, that thing's going to be just amazing. You know, we always pick on Robbo a little bit for, you know, taking off all summer long, but this is such a wonderful time to do the show because we're seeing the opportunity door swing wide open on so many fronts. I mean, the bass guys been going at it now. The water's warmed up all over the state. Kokanee's snapping everywhere. But now we're also seeing, you know, the tip of the iceberg with regard to our salmonid opportunities. We got the resident coho deal opens up on the 16th. Okay.
Yep.
So what's that? What's that? Thursday?
Wednesday. Yeah.
So Wednesday, Area 10 opens up resident coho. Area 11 opens up
for Chinook.
Okay.
So that's, you know, other than Tulalip's open, you can go out there and chase Chinook. But that's really our first inside crack at some Chinook in one of our marine areas.
Exactly. And then this time next Saturday, here comes the flotilla, right? Yeah, I mean, you know, heading out to the ocean because marine areas 1 through 4 open up. It is go time on the ocean.
Yeah.
And that's going to be fascinating. And so since we've been kind of out of pocket, a little bit out of touch, you know, we pulled in the ringer. We pulled in the real regional roundup with Mark Uwasa is going to join us middle of this hour and kind of get us up to speed on what he's heard. And Mark's a wonderful resource for us. Of course, he's the senior blogger emeritus for theoutdoorline.com. And, you know, his information network is beyond reproach.
Oh, anytime I need to know anything, I call Mark, and
he's just
the information is right there.
Mainline, and it's accurate, and you know so he's been talking to Wendy Begley, who's one of the coastal salmon managers that you know has her finger on the pulse, and so we're going to get some really great info from him. And then top of the 7 o'clock hour, our friend John Kaiser, saltpatrol.com, he's jumping in. He's actually standing next to his boat right now and ready to, you know, set up his summer home in Ilwaco, right? He brings a RV down there. For years, he was the mayor of Westport. Well, now he's going to be kind of one of the city councilmen of Ilwaco for the summer. And, you know, we'll obviously see him down there when we head down there, Buoy 10. And then the guy who thinks that, you're his new deckhand, Todd Daniels of Tall Tales Guide Service. Kind of get us dialed in on the Skycomish deal. When it first opened up Memorial Day weekend, you know, we had this typical May runoff deal that really challenged
big water,
challenged a lot of anglers. And the thing about the Skycomish, and really, you know, most other streams you can name, is the fact that when you get a big water event like that, it basically takes the bank fishing out of the equation. That's not the case now. That creek's dropped in nice. Now, this deluge that we had last night and that is forecast for this week, notwithstanding, that situation is going to change. But Todd Daniels is a great resource to kind of get us dialed in on that Skycomish deal. So looking forward to hearing from him for sure. So tell you what, load up that text toy, 710-710, powered by Yamaha Outboards. We're going to pop out air. Give us 90 seconds. We're going to give you Rob Ensley live from Craig, Alaska, right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
From the shining shores of Puget Sound to your radio, this is the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome back to the Outdoor. Hey, Matthew, what's this red button for here? A little rusty, but great to be back in the studio here. Tom Nelson here with Joey Pyburn. Matt Nelson behind the glass and on the phone, our long-lost and beloved Robbo Ensley, coming at us live and on location from Prince of Wales Island, Craig, Alaska. Good morning, Robbo. How you doing?
Morning, buddy.
Good morning, guys. How's that feel? I got to feel good to be back in the studio. How'd you have to do a little dusting and
we did
cobwebs?
Yeah, did you know we had to? I had to shower. There were some personal hygiene issues they made me aware of. Before.
Not you. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the studio. We haven't been there for a year and a half. So
dude, crazy.
Yeah, we all know that about you. Oh, I mean that's just a given. So,
there we go. And there's the first evidence right there of Captain Krusty's emergence. For the season?
Are you crusty yet?
Are you already crusty?
No, I'm not. I'm only crusty when Nelly calls.
The
rest of the week is pretty good until Nelly calls, but no, everything's good here, and it's good to hear that you guys are in the studio. Gosh, it's been 15 months, a year and a half. I don't know how long has it been since we've been in that studio. It's been a while.
It's been too long, man. For sure.
But anyway,
so you and I got a chance to visit a little bit yesterday and kind of compare some notes on what, you know, Joey and I saw in Sitka, what you're seeing in Craig. So just give us your 10,000 foot viewpoint of the salmon fishery in Craig, Alaska you're seeing right now, Rob Ensley.
Oh, it's good. I mean, we haven't seen the big, huge push, you know, the big massive fish show up here yet, but fishing's good. There's fish scattered all over the place, which is nice. You don't have to sit around with the whole charter fleet.
Right.
Fishing, we can scatter and run all over the place and find fish. So that's good. I mean, I think from what I'm hearing up in Sitka and north of us, I think it's just going to keep on building and be really good. And it's good right now. So we'll take it. And the weather's relented a little bit. Especially today, we got a beautiful calm ocean today, so everything's good here. Halibut fishing's picking up, and we got some kings around, and life is good. When we were fishing in CQ,
yes.
Oh, I guess when was that? Back in late March. We experimented with running orange label herring. Now this year, there's a bait shortage, and that bait shortage has to do mostly with green label herring. And so we weren't able to get our full allotment of green label, just like everybody else. So what I did is I took a bunch of oranges, took a bunch of reds, took a bunch of little stuff. And when we were in CQ, we messed around with spinning these little oranges in an anchovy special head, got it dialed in. I mean, this is something Jerry Thomas, I mean, he's won a bunch of derbies on orange label herring, and we've spun them in the past, but we really got them dialed in. And so that's something a little different we've been doing this year. Instead of just running green label herring all day, every day, we've been running these little tiny herring, and they've been just crushing these kings. And that's what they're feeding on anyways. Our fish are feeding on little candlefish and little stuff out there, little young of the year herring. And those little orange label herring and that anchovy special hood, which Joe's kind of the one that pointed us in that direction, has just been working dynamite on some of these kings. So that's something different we've been doing this year. That's been working really good. No flasher, no nothing. Run it off the downrigger. You strip it out 20 feet or whatever behind the downrigger ball, and off you go.
Yeah, fun too. And no flasher.
Yeah, and that's the
just
program.
You and the fish.
That is absolutely the program that we got dialed into as well. Is just you know, first part of the year, you're just getting guys on the boat and you're running a flasher on one side and running a bait on the other. But after that, the flashers were gone. We were just running straight bait. One of the things that really struck me though, Robbo, about being up there, you know, you got up there before I did. And you started showing me pictures of snow, and I went, oh, yeah, well, by the time I get up, yeah, uh-uh.
That was cold, man.
I flew up on the 9th.
Yeah.
The dock froze on the 10th. The dock hoses froze, frost on the dock, and a 48-degree ocean out front.
Yeah, same here.
Crazy. Yeah. I've never seen Southeast Alaska that cold, man.
So cold, man. I fished with a stocking cap every day. And I'm not kidding. No, every day until just a few days ago. Stocking cap, long johns, everything else on, you know. But the ocean just started warming up. I mean, it's up to about 50 now. And the weather, you know, like I said, the last few days, the weather's warmed up a little bit. We're in t-shirts yesterday for crying out loud, the first time all summer. But now things are looking a little better. But you're right. It was really cold this spring, and which kind of leads me to believe that things will be a little bit late pushing in, you know. So
I mean, there's no question that absolutely drives those plankton populations, and that's gonna bring in those herring but we did see really huge hatches of sand lance, as you pointed out, and that's you know, that was definitely in the bellies of every single Chinook that we got.
And then you and I had talked. Yeah. It's been a little bit, Rob, since we talked. We've been so busy, but. Rob is really enjoying halibut fishing, Tom.
I am so happy to hear that. Yeah. You're anchor fishing for the flat ones. So give us your impression of that easy anchor winch and your whole anchor program. Let's hear it, buddy.
Oh, it's fun. I mean, the thing about the winch that's so nice, if you drop in the wrong spot, which happens quite a bit, you can just pull it up and move over 100 yards or move over a quarter mile, half mile, 2 miles. You can just change location all day long. You can bounce around all day long. It's super handy for obviously dropping the anchor, but then picking it up real quick. There's no dragging the buoy in, none of that stuff. And it's really nice to move around. You know, you might sit. You don't want to just drop and sit for 15 minutes. You got to wait at least an hour, 45 minutes to an hour once you've set the pick. But gosh, you know, if you get your kings early in the morning, I can go hit, four or five spots the rest of the day, maybe six spots, and really, really bounce around and scout around and get a good anchor setup for some halibut. So that's been good. The easy anchor thing has been working really good.
Yeah, it's tremendous. And even, you know, one of the things that I'd noticed as well is, like, look, you know, if we're not getting bit, I'll throw out another 50, 75 feet anchor line and just kind of choke up on that scent trail. And that really helped too. We do have WDFW made an announcement yesterday. They're working with Nymphs and giving us some extra halibut opportunity. That's going to come up in the Northwest Outdoor Report. So by the time you get home, you know, in August or September, we may, you can go butt fishing with us, dude. How excited are you?
So much fun.
Yeah.
Maybe like the first week you get back, we try to get out on the boat.
I think I'll skip elk hunting in September and I'll just go out.
Go butt fishing.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right, buddy. So how far, what's your run? What's your game plan today? And what do you expect? What's a win for you today?
We're going to run probably 20 miles to start with and drop in on one little king spot. Nobody will be there. And see what's going on. Then I'm going to bounce around outside Noise Island, which is kind of northwest of here. I'm going to bounce outside Noise and hit some king spots out there and then get our halibut. Once the flood starts, I'll get my halibut. And if I still need kings, I'll come back in at that high tide change later in the day and get the rest of our kings. But hopefully I'll get them first thing this morning and we'll be off and running. But got a good ocean. We should be able to get our lingcod and everything today. Lingcod, halibut, kings. Everything, because we got a good ocean, good tide, everything today. So
Rob Ensley riding the other side of the jets. You're gonna be fine, dude. Well, you know, here's the deal. Rob Ensley is riding the other side of the jet stream. We're on the trough side down here in Western Washington. It's pouring. It poured last night. It's gonna pour this week. So you know, if the weather's crappy up there, it's amazing in Southeast Alaska. So Rob, well, good luck, buddy. Flat waters and good fishing to you today, my friend. And keep in touch. Go drill them.
Nice to talk to you, Rob.
Thank you, guys. All right, buddy. Have a great day.
All right, man.
Good to hear from you guys. Bye-bye.
You bet. We'll talk to you soon. We'll tell you what. We're going to pop out of here for a quick break. Since we have been out of town a little bit, we got to go to the man himself, all right? So Mark Uwasa, the real regional roundup here, joining us next. But I just want to give you guys a quick reminder. This week, the James G. Murphy Auction brings to auction a one-of-a-kind gun collection, 200 firearms, including 30 revolvers, 36 pistols, 130 long guns. Public preview is available 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. June 22nd through the 23rd. This auction actually runs the 17th through the 24th. More information, hit murphyauction.com. That's murphyauction.com. We'll be right back here with Mark Uwasa joining us on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Welcome to the BOMAC Tech Line. BOMAC has all the gear for all your techniques, and SMI shellfish gear is simply the best. BOMAC, we catch big fish.
Oh, it's not going to be long until we're dropping the BOMAC pots for some crab here, but I don't want to steal the thunder of the Outdoor Line's blogger emeritus, Mark Uwasa, joining us now. Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Mark. Good morning, guys.
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're just thrilled to be back in the studio, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty nice, man.
We had a technical difficulty from Southeast Alaska, so it's really great to be able to hear everything and have guests again for sure. So, and there's not a better guest to get us dialed back into what's going on around here. So I'm just going to let you ramble, man. Give us your regional roundup and what you see coming in as our summertime opportunity door swings wide open, Mark Uwasa.
Sure. Well, I think the first things then, and first and foremost, important is our what we're seeing for salmon here. This week marks the beginning, or this coming week marks the beginning of quite a lot of major salmon fisheries starting up. Wednesday on June 16th, you've got Area 10 opening up for coho fishing. South Central Puget Sound Area 11 opens up for the first hatchery king fishery around here. So, those are great places to want to be. And I think the good thing is we're getting some fairly good reports of some early hatchery kings appearing, south of the Narrows in Area 13, which is open currently right now. Places like Point Fosdick, Fox Island's east side at Gibson Point, Toe Point, Fox Point, all those areas. And it's just loaded with bait. So to see some early mature kings down there, the highway they have to get through is right between 10 and 11 to get down there.
Yeah, that's absolutely wonderful. And so what do you expect when we get that first hatchery Chinook, full marine area opening here in Puget Sound on the 16th? I mean, what do you expect? What do you think would be a win for local anglers with regard to catches and sizes in Marine Area 11 on Thursday?
Well, my gut feeling is that, Wednesday when this thing opens up, just from what I've been hearing there, as well as some reports from out in the ocean from the troll fisheries, there'll be some fish around in that Tacoma area right off the clay banks. There, Point Dalco, it should be a place to be. Now, keep in mind, dogfish will be there, so putting the herring in the water isn't going to be the thing you want to do. I mean, jigs are probably your best bet, or that or hardware.
So and one of the things that Joey and I have done in the boat to dodge the dogfish, obviously, is just what you say, is a combination of flasher gear with either hoochies that are tied, maybe a flasher link or 2.5 flasher links behind there, or plugs. I mean, are the classic, silver horde salmon plugs, are they in the angler's front window here coming up on the opener on Wednesday?
Oh yeah. Guys will use those. They'll also troll, big plugs too. I mean, down there you've got the meat liners. We've always talked about that type of a fishery too. And so, but I just keep going back to the jigs. I mean, those
seems like a jig show down there.
Yeah, no question.
Oh God, yeah, definitely.
And our dear friend Bob Buchanan of BOMAC has a new series of sliding jigs out too that are just absolutely dynamite. And he actually, posted something that Robbo kicked out with regard to tying basically a short, close mooching leader, dropping a bead on top of it, then sliding one of those jigs down. And the advantage to that setup, obviously, is you get, that traditional double hook setup, but with a sliding jig, that salmon doesn't have the leverage of a tight tied jig to shake his head when he gets close to the boat and spit it.
Oh, that's the great thing about that whole setup that Bob has is, and guys have been using that setup for a long time. You've got like about a half an inch between two big river three-eyed hooks, and it's just, oh God, yeah. When you have that sliding jig on, that thing gets out of the way right away when that thing hits that. And boy, it's showtime definitely for those, in that gear setup.
How many times have you seen hook a fish on a jig, king comes blasting up to the surface, shakes his head, and the jig just flies like 10 feet in the air.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the classic. You know, I mean, when you have a 2, 3, 4, or 5 ounce chunk of lead on a hook, it gives that salmon the leverage to just shake it off. I mean, and you see it, especially in this era of barbless hooks. I mean, that is absolute classic. Moving north a little bit, Mark, we've got the resident coho season. That's going to hit us the same day, Wednesday the 16th. And so I know guys are fired up Marine Area 10 to go get off Jeff Head and, hover over 700-800 feet of water and go find those krill eating doggone things up there. What do you expect from that coho fishery?
Well, this is the funny thing is this year we're getting a later starter than we have, in years past. Normally the traditional opening for that has been June 1, but factor in a few things. I've always felt that it takes about 7 to 10 days for that fishery to come on. Well, here we are. It's June 16th. It'll be go-to time once the guys are out there. I mean, if the krill was there like it has been for the last several years, boy, that's just going to be bonkers. And it's such an easy fishery. Those fish are just beautiful when you cut into them, when you catch them, and you fillet them out, and they're bright orange fish, very good eating fish. And size, they're not big, they're 2 to 4 pounds, 4 being very generous in size, but even a 2 or 3 pounder, man, they cut well and they eat well.
Yeah, they do. It's surprising.
Yeah, they're tasty little buggers. And some of those fish that there's a ton of bait fish in the Sound right now. And we started catching fish down in the Tacoma area, my fishermen, and it was a lot of yellow and orange. Now those fish have grown, but there's been a ton of bait in the Sound. I think that may be a fishery where I know a lot of guys target them with squid or small spoons, but they may want to run some little herring, just like what Rob was talking about. We have plenty of those orange right now, and they're out there in the stores. Run your traditional gear, but you might want to run something a little higher, run those little firecracker orange in a head, and they may be turned on to the herring by now.
I completely agree with that. And plus you're targeting, salmon that are kind of on the smaller side of the scale. And if you learn to turn those orange labels in a head and run them without a flasher, you are going to enjoy the fight of those. Because now think about what you got on there. A little plastic head, okay, and that herring, and no flasher, and they rip it off the clip, and you're into a better fighting fish. I mean, I don't even – if I can catch a Chinook, Mark Uwasa, without a flasher on it, I prefer to do that. And that absolutely goes in spades for coho. I mean, 100%.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm a herring guy, so
question.
If I had a choice to put on a herring just bare with hooks, I'll do that any day of the year.
There we go.
And that's a great time to do it.
All right. Well, 1 week from today, it's the big show. It's the Chinook opener on the coast. The interesting thing of this year is coho will not be on the docket for the first week, 10 days of the season, and we're hoping that's going to get us later into this, because we have not achieved, as a recreational fishery, we have not achieved that sport quota of Chinook for a number of years, because we've been running up against the coho quota.
Yeah.
So what do you expect? I mean, we know you've been talking to Wendy Begley. You got your finger on the pulse of what's going on in the ocean out there. So what do you expect when the ocean opens up a week from today, Mark Uwasa?
Yeah, so middle of the week this week, I decided to give her a call. I hadn't talked to her for about a week and a half, and wanted to kind of, gauge what the commercial troll fishery has been doing out there. And, this year it's been very inconsistent. The reason behind that, though, is not that the fish aren't there. It's just the weather issues this year. And another thing is that the water temperatures have just been so cold. I mean, we're talking 50, 52 degrees, which,
that's awesome.
I'm not going to complain about a cold ocean at all, right? We need that right now.
We do. We absolutely do.
But the good thing is that it has come up a couple of degrees right now, and that shows that if the water's warming up, you've got bait fish out there, they're seeing whales. These are all the typical things for some positive signs for salmon guys to get excited about.
Yeah, I mean it's going to be fascinating to see how this ocean fishery 2021 develops this year, and of course we'll be watching that as well. Then the other thing let's touch on before we let you go is WDFW dropped the crab regulations come the 1st of July, which is not too far from now. I mean, we're talking, you know, a little over 2 weeks, and we'll be splashing some crab gear, Mark.
Right. And, you know, had a chance to talk to Don Velasquez, and they've been doing their test fisheries. Obviously, you know, most of the areas open July 1. And what we're talking about is, you know, the typical east of Manila Tatoosh area 4, 5, 6, 8, 1, 8, 2, and 9. What they've been seeing is in area 9, as far as their test fisheries, is that it looked a lot better than last year, especially in their northern areas, you know, Port Townsend, Oak Bay, you know, but here as we get into deeper Puget Sound, they've decided to hold back the opener for places like Central Sound, area 10. This year it'll open up July 1st, and they're only going to allow fishing Sunday and Mondays. Same goes for South Central Puget Sound. It'll be a July 11th opener and fishing Sundays and Mondays, which is typical of what they did last year. But keep in mind, last year was the first time it had been open since 2018.
Yep.
What I've been hearing, though, is that the test fishing that they've been doing down there, the abundance in 10 seems to be somewhat better than last year based on, you know, what the tribes have been seeing down there. And the Suquamish has been doing some test fishing. But Area 11, the catches have been down. The Puyallups that they've been fishing already and not seeing the numbers. But, you know, there again, so that's okay. I mean, there's going to be a lot of crabbing opportunity. And then you've got, you know, the San Juans opening up on the 15th area. They refer to it as Area 7 South. And those places can be really gangbusters as well. So, I'm looking forward to some crab in the old crab pot and getting excited about that.
Yeah, aren't we all? No question about it. It's kind of one of the signatures of summer is
summer's
almost here. Boy, when those crab pots drop, it certainly is. Mark Uwasa, let's get you in the boat this summer, man. It's been too long since we got to bend a rod together, and we sure appreciate all the work you do on the website and joining us today. I appreciate it. Good luck to you, my friend, and please keep in touch.
Yes, definitely. Thanks, guys, and talk to you very soon. All right, buddy.
You take
care. Have a nice day,
Mark.
Buddy.
All right, coming up next, the Raymarine Picks of the Week here for the 12th of June already. I can't believe it, man. Now, this is the time of year you kind of want time to slow down. Unfortunately, there's so much going on.
I know. It goes quick, man. You turn around, and it's like the middle of July, and our season is halfway gone.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, we're going to tell you how best to take advantage of it right here. Raymarine Picks of the Week coming at you next here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Welcome to the Outdoor Line Picks of the Week, presented by Raymarine Electronics. Don't just go fishing, go hunting underwater. Raymarine, simply superior.
Hit raymarine.com. You're going to find the all-new Axiom Plus unit. Smarter, brighter, tougher than ever, only at raymarine.com. I tell you what, man, after running the boat for 30 days straight and having my face in that Raymarine gear, I mean, it's not a hitch, not an issue, not a single issue in that whole time, and loaded up with a bunch of new waypoints and just a deeper understanding of what that sonar is actually trying to do.
What did everybody think of the rear finder?
Oh, dude. It was the hit of the trip for sure. Yeah, the bait table big screen.
It's mesmerizing. I would see people just sitting on the big Yeti cooler just staring at it.
Well, I could see it reflected on their face because you see Chinook and they're coming up underneath the boat and I'm watching their faces and I knew that their faces were lighting up. They're watching something. Sure enough, the rod tips would just fold up, man. And then when we had we had Kevin, John, and Anthony and Jared on board the boat, we converted a good troll bite, you know, Chinook troll bite over to a jig and mooch.
Yeah.
And that blew the top off their brain pan. It was so much fun because, you know, but it was what we saw on that screen that enabled us to do that, obviously. I mean, you got to know what they look like. And so to see, you know, to really see aggressive feeding Chinook on that stuff, it's just really where the rubber meets.
Well, we got into them that day with those guys.
Yeah, we did.
And we pounded on them pretty hard. And that was, you know, for me, that was really the best king bite I saw,
yeah,
whether it was down in Prince of Wales or Sitka. That was kind of like – legit,
yeah,
like crazy king fishing. And we're watching those fish. We're running our gear down, you know, mid water column and watching those fish just streak to the gear.
Up.
And then you just turn and watch the rod explode.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
So much fun, dude. But you know, it's when you can get that thing to go vertical, and then you're getting rods in everybody's hand. That's really what you're going for. Raymarine picks of the week here. You know, we ran through some of this with Mark, but what's top of mind for you, Joey Pyburn?
Well, I'll tell you what, man. We still have some halibut opportunity.
Yeah, we do
out in the straits, and I know there's so much going on. A lot of guys have kind of moved on, and I don't know. For me, I would probably try to go out there and get last halibut of the season.
You got to go backdoor on these guys sometimes, right? Yep. I mean, and everybody's heading to the rivers. Everybody's doing that.
There's so much to do.
There is.
Look, the Skagit and the Skye are your river opportunities here in the Northwest. The Columbia, holy cow.
Yeah.
If you want to travel down there, the fishing is phenomenal.
It is really solid right now.
But yeah, there's so much going on. With the Coho opener, the actual salmon opener in the Sound, that guys get to go chase Chinook in 11 and Coho in Area 10.
You know, and guys want
that's gonna suck up a lot
of
the folks.
I mean, because guys want to sleep in their own bed and get up.
Well, and they also want to go out and run their gear.
Run their boat. Yeah, run their gear.
Stare at their Raymarine. Use that Cannon downrigger, you know, and get kind of tuned up for the king season.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Get your stuff cleaned up.
The more you use your gear, the better you're going to be. And if you get a fish a couple days in a row, you're always sharper on that second day.
Yeah.
And that's why Puget Sound has been, is, and always will be the cradle of sport fishing here in Washington. You know, I mean, it's wonderful to have ocean opportunities, but, you know, not everybody lives on the coast, man. The population center's right here in Puget Sound, and that's why this is such a vitally important fishery. And so when it opens up and when we're looking at, you know, a solid season, you know, I mean, dude, would you take a repeat right now, 2019?
Are you kidding?
Dude.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, we had good-sized Chinook, and everybody was catching them all through the Sound, you know? Yeah. And so it was, you know, that was a pretty wonderful season.
Obviously, the coast, too, right?
Yes, the coast,
I mean, the
too.
Coast opens up on the 19th.
And, yeah, a week from today.
You know, I think not allowing guys to keep those coho is huge.
That's it is.
Going to extend our Chinook season. And I would say for guys, hey, I know there's obviously still not a lot of the larger size herring around. It's coming, guys. They're getting bigger. We're processing quite a bit of red right now, but if you got some blues or you got some big greens, I would run bigger herring out there and try to
interesting.
Stay away from those coho, because I talked to Dave Johnson yesterday, and he's been out there, you know, bottom fishing, halibut fishing. There's a ton of coho out there, so they're flipping all over the place, and they're little, so try to stay away from those things and run some bigger gear.
Yeah. And that is absolutely the best way to your coho filter, your shaker filter stuff is definitely running bigger gear. So you got a chance to fish the Skycomish yesterday. We're having Todd Daniels on later in the show and kind of run down that fishery a little bit more in depth. Let's talk a little bit about a potential bank opportunity on the Skycomish for those Chinook. Now that the water's come down a little bit from that Memorial Day high water period and the first part of the runoff, I mean, guys have a chance to get a decent Chinook from the bank on the Sky.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we saw probably 8 or 10 folks fishing from the bank.
Nice.
We didn't run up. We didn't go above, you know.
Sultan.
We didn't go to Sultan.
Yeah.
We didn't even go that far.
Right.
We kind of stayed down just around Lewis Street.
Sure.
But that's where your best opportunity is kind of up in that Wallace Flats area.
Yep.
You know, get down to the mouth of the Wallace. That's always a great spot to pluck a Chinook out of there. Down around Sultan, there's some opportunity there. Moving down the river, there's you know, limited bank access on the Sky. I would stick up around that Wallace area.
Cracker Bar, all that kind
and
of
those,
stuff.
And
yeah.
Those fish are, like, pretty particular.
They're a little egg biters, dude.
They are.
Always have been.
You know,
and I tried to get them to go on a plug.
Yeah.
Or anything. It's just, that's not the program in the Skycomish.
I think it's so short.
It is.
You know, one of the fish we caught yesterday had, you know, long tail
sea lice
on it. So they're moving quickly,
right.
and they're up there in a day.
Yeah.
So, you know, it takes them a while to kind of settle in before they'll do the sand shrimp tail and egg thing. So fishing a small wet egg, like a gooey egg, and basically drift fishing up there, you got pretty good opportunity.
And what's the story on the Skagit? That's been open roughly the same time frame, you know, and so what are we hearing? Again, you know, we've got friends up there that, you know, been kind of struggling because of the high water up there too. Dam controlled stream, obviously. But
there were a lot of fish.
Gotcha.
You know, the tribes went in and caught their fish in 2 days.
Gotcha.
Up there. That tells you there were a lot of Chinook sitting up there. So guy, it's open 7 days a week for guys up above Marble Mount, you know,
right,
up to the Cascade. And, that fishery can be, it's a little bit funner fishery because you can catch them a bunch of different ways. You can catch those fish, twitching.
Yeah.
You can catch them on plugs. You can wrap
them, you can catch
sardine.
You can catch them anchored. You can catch them plunking.
Yep. And then also just, you know, drifting sand shrimp.
Yeah.
They love sand shrimp. So that's a fun fishery up there. And I think it's really going to probably peak out more like the end of this month.
Yeah.
You know, so.
We 710-710 powered by Yamaha Outboards. Good morning. Don't forget it's free fishing weekend. That is a great point. We did mention that at the top of the show. But, yeah, we're going to cover that more in the Northwest Outdoor Report. But, yeah, anglers across Western Washington or across the state, this is free fishing weekend. So residents and non-residents, you can fish, you know, without a license, okay, for, you know, we're talking trout, you know, lingcod on the coast, bass, crappie, perch, and shad on the Columbia River.
And the cool thing about that is, you know, a lot of you experienced anglers, grab somebody,
yes,
who hasn't bought a license before.
Yeah.
And take them out and introduce them to it. And they don't have to buy a license. They can get a feel for it. And maybe you screw up somebody's life.
You can have the satisfaction
forever
of absolutely ruining somebody's life by pulling
they'll
them into
they'll be buying
fishing
a boat.
Yeah.
They'll need a bigger truck.
They'll be getting up early on Saturday morning for the rest of their lives.
To listen to us, hopefully.
somebody from the 360, welcome back in the studio, guys. Glad that Kathy gets a break from making you guys breakfast. Hey, come on. Doggone, it's not that, but yeah, but don't worry. Well, I'll be getting a meal out of her later today for sure. Hey, Joey from the 206, how's a bite on Lake Stevens? I plan to help a buddy test his new lake boat. What's going on the Kokanee front on Lake Stevens?
Kokanee's still hot, man.
Yeah, it's got to be good.
Yeah, this weather has been good for the Kokanee because as it heats up, you know, that fishery is kind of like as that sun gets up, if we have a hot June,
yeah,
that sun's up, it's a real early morning thing, and you know, the cloud cover and the rain we've had will kind of keep that thing rolling. And the fish just get bigger and bigger.
I think so, too. And if you look at some of the long-range weather forecasts, what you said is absolutely in the cards. We're going to get something of a pretty good turnover in the atmosphere, which is going to result in possible thunderstorms. Okay, that indicates a massive thermal flip over in the atmosphere. We're going to see, you know, big rains tomorrow. And then, you know, that disturbance on Tuesday, Wednesday, and then probably we may see the true beginning of summer here,
mm-hmm,
you know, coming in later this week. That's going to be very interesting. From the 360-710-710 powered by Yamaha Outboards, do you guys think that wild coho will ever open up for attention in Area 9 again? Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I do. I think that the forecasts we've seen across the board this year, at least with coho and Chinook, are very conservative. You know, as we pointed out in the past, when we see rebounding runs, the agencies tend to underforecast those. When we see declining runs, especially those that aren't really clear in the reasoning behind it, we see agencies overforecast. And so I think it's entirely likely that we're going to see a lot more fish than there are in the forecast this year on the salmon.
Sure. And look, we talked about the ocean conditions.
Yeah.
Cold ocean. Lots of food out there. These runs can rebound quickly.
Quickly.
Especially quickly when they're not getting hammered on.
Yeah.
So,
and so the reason that a cold ocean is important for our salmonids is that it allows coastal upwelling. Upwelling is the coastal waters that get blown off by longshore drift and the you know, rotation of the earth, also known as Coriolis forces, right?
Mm-hmm.
Swing that water away from the beach, and it's replaced by nutrient dense cold water from the bottom of the ocean. That upwelling is like leaving your refrigerator open on a hot day, right? It's going to stink, right? And so all these nutrients get exposed to increased temperatures, and get exposed to daylight, which drives photosynthesis. There's your primary production. There's your phytoplankton that the zooplankton are going to get attracted to, and your bait fish and young salmonids thrive on this. Our young fish that outmigrated, our downstream migrants this year, experienced really, really wonderful conditions and have so for a couple of years. We've got great snowpacks, all this kind of stuff. Now, somewhere there's some tuna guys out there that are spitting up their coffee right now. They're hating
Tobek.
The fact
Tobek yeah. is Tobek grumpy is this morning.
Well, oh really? No. But seriously though, I mean, this cold ocean out front is going to profoundly affect what we're going to see on tuna, as it did last year. We had a real truncated tuna opportunity because of that cold ocean out front, and it may well be that you're going to have to run significantly south from Westport, even significantly south from Milwaukee to encounter, you know, decent numbers of tuna this year, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of a more normal situation than what we've had in the past.
And Tobek will run 80 miles if you want.
Oh, you remember that phone call last year? Hey, guys, I'd be up for running 80, 90 miles just to fine tuna. We're like, no, we're good.
Well, and then I kind of did.
You kind of did. Yeah. That's an illness all in
so
and of itself.
So somebody here is looking for some advice on gooey duck north of Everett. Sandy Point over on Whidbey. It's kind of like on a big minus tide.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the go-to spot. They're tough, man. We had some huge tides here.
We did.
A couple weeks ago.
Isn't that more of a useless bay drill, though, a little bit south of Everett?
Yeah. Yeah. You could do it out there, too. I just know the commercial guys hit that Sandy Point, and they're not going to be up in that zone that you're going to be looking at on a low tide. They're going to be deeper than that. So,
And from the 425, do you know of any upcoming youth shooting or guided hunting events? Hit WDFW.WA.gov. That's typically, you know, our youth hunt stuff. That's not going to come to September, right? And we don't even want to start talking about September just yet. But I'll personally dig into that, because the Marysville Rifle Club and the Seattle Rifle and Pistol Association generally has some youth stuff coming up, and we'll keep our finger on the pulse of that. We're late to pop out of here for a break. We are going to do so now. Coach K himself, John Kaiser of saltpatrol.com, is going to talk to us a little bit about that Area 11 Chinook opener on the 16th, the Ocean opener on the 19th. The Northwest Outdoor Report brought to you by American Pacific Mortgage and Mark Tilschner, thehomeloanangler.com. Todd Daniels on the Wildcraft Wheelhouse talking to us about Skycoma Chinook. Roy Robinson's Really Where and a lot more. Stay tuned for a live in the studio. Yes, the actual physical studio here in Seattle. Okay, the rest of the show, the jam-packed hour 2 right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.